Hebrews chapter 10, starting in verse 32. But recall the former days when, after you were enlightened, you endured a hard struggle with sufferings, sometimes being publicly exposed to reproach and affliction, and sometimes being partners with those so treated. For you had compassion on those in prison, and you joyfully accepted the plundering of your property, since you knew that you yourselves had a better possession and an abiding one. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. Let's pray. Lord, you know the needs of all your people, and you know the needs of those who are hearing this sermon. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you'd fill me afresh, and you would use me for your glory. I pray that you would help me to be sensitive to your promptings at this time, and that you would do a miracle in the preaching of your word, Lord, that you would cause it to go forth and bear fruit for your glory, Lord, whether it be 30, 60, or 100-fold. Lord, we ask you to do this so that your name would be glorified this morning. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to go a little old school here to start out. I want to ask you, if you saw this movie in the theater, you can't watch it, if you saw it for the first time in the theater, do you remember the old movie Back to the Future? How many of you saw that in the theaters? See, man, there's a lot of old people here. Okay. Back to the Future, what happened in that story? Basically, Marty McFly accidentally got into a time machine and goes back in time. And what is happening is the professor said, listen, you can't do anything, you can't change anything here, because if you do, it will affect the future. So what he had done in the past was going to have an influence on the future. And in a sense, that's what our scripture is talking about today. It's talking about the fact that to endure in our faith sometimes requires us to look back, and sometimes it requires us to look forward to the future. To persevere, we need to look back at what we were saved from. Take a look at God's word again. Now, before you read it, let's put this in context. What was happening right before this in this chapter? We just came out of how the author was saying, listen, you need to stir one another up in love and good deeds. And so now he's continuing to stir the readers up. And here's how he starts out. Hebrews chapter 10, 26 to 31. For if we go on sinning deliberately after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a fearful expectation of judgment and a fury of fire that will consume the adversaries. Anyone who has set aside the law of Moses dies without mercy on the evidence of two or three witnesses. How much worse punishment do you think will be deserved by the one who has trampled underfoot the Son of God and has profaned the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified, and has outraged the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, vengeance is mine, I will repay. And again, the Lord will judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. What he's talking about here is go on sinning deliberately. It's not just any sin. What he's talking about here is a specific sin. It's the conscious, deliberate, persistent rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ, a rejection of the gospel. They constantly reject it. What we see here is that they hear the gospel and they understand the gospel. And there is this mental assent to it. I agree with that. But then they walk away forever. They don't come back. Remember who this was written to. We have Jews who had followed Christ, and they were looking at, our Judaism is a lot very similar to Christianity. So why should we stay in Christianity? Let's just go back to Judaism. And so Hebrews is written to that group of believers, and it's saying, listen, Jesus is superior to all these. He's superior to the angels. He's superior to Moses. He's superior to Aaron. He's superior to the sacrifice. He's superior. And so these people were weighing it out. Should I go back to Judaism or not? And like I said, there were some commonalities in Judaism and Christianity. The foundation was there, but it was not the gospel. And that's the picture that we see here, is that he's warning them. He's saying, be careful. Be careful. Now we know this, that those who are truly saved will remain. We don't have to worry about that. And if somebody is what we call an apostate, somebody who is in the church, kind of playing the games, playing the church game, you know, there for maybe, this is what I was taught, so I got to go to church. Or for other reasons. They're part of the picture. Every church has unbelievers in it. You know, they believe intellectually the gospel is true, but they've never really given their heart to Christ. And this is a picture of those apostates. Don't hear the gospel, understand it to be true, and then yet reject it. In this case, walking away completely, physically. You remember in the New Testament, there were times when it said, listen, they're among us, but they're not of us. That's why they're leaving. And that's what this is talking about here. What we see is that these people had received full knowledge of the gospel, and yet they rejected it. They said, nope, not for me. That's why it's interesting, because it says here, again, speaking to this group of people, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins. What the author is saying, listen, Jesus fulfilled all the sacrifices. There's no sacrifice left. So if you reject Christ, there's no forgiveness for your sin. And that's true today. You know, people will say, you Christians are kind of narrow. You're saying that Christianity is the only way. And I say, listen, you don't have a problem with me. You have a problem with God. Because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. There is no other sacrifice for sin. Nothing. You cannot be forgiven for your sin unless you embrace the gospel. You understand that you were separated from God because of your sin. And God, because he is just and righteous, is going to punish sin because it's breaking of his law. And the way that God punishes sin, the way he determined it, is that we would be separated eternally from him and punished in a place called hell. That's not comfortable to hear, but it's the truth. And sometimes people say, well, it's not loving to say those types of things. It's not loving not to tell someone the truth. And so we're separated from God, and then we find the love of God, that he made a way. He sent his son, Jesus, and Jesus lived the perfect sinless life. Something we couldn't do, but we were required to do in order to spend eternity in heaven. He did it for us. And then Jesus went to the cross and was punished viciously, righteously punished, for the sins of others, because their sins had to be paid for. Our sins, my sins. And 3 days later, Jesus rose from the dead. The Father saying, I accept the sacrifice of Jesus, my son. And we received that gift of salvation. It's completely by God's grace, not our works. It's by faith, believing what we don't see. That's not blind faith. There's a big difference. In Jesus alone, nothing else. He is the only sacrifice for sin, the only sacrifice. And what we see here is that these people received the full knowledge of the gospel, yet they rejected Christ. And because of that, there are severe consequences to what's going to happen. Talks about here how they'll be judged in proportion to the amount of truth that was available to them. If you look here, he's talking about in verse 28, anyone who has set aside the law of Moses dies without mercy. You're either under the law or you're under grace. And if you reject the gospel, you're under the law and you're found guilty. It goes on, it says, dies without mercy on the evidence of two or three witnesses. How much worse punishment, look at that, how much worse punishment do you think will be deserved by the one who has trampled underfoot the Son of God, rejected the gospel? and has profaned the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified, and has outraged the spirit of grace. For we know him who said, vengeance is mine, I will repay. And again, the Lord will judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. God's not less tolerant of sin today. He's more, or God is not saying, listen, you believers now, you have the full revelation. Those old covenant guys, they didn't. They heard of someone coming, a Messiah. And they put their trust in God fulfilling that promise, that prophecy. We're on the other side of it. Now, you've seen the fulfillment of that. You've seen Jesus. You've heard the gospel, and you reject it. Now, those other people, listen, they're still guilty. But think of how much more guilty you are and deserving of punishment because you've seen the full revelation of God's promises, Jesus Christ. You've heard the gospel. They didn't. You have. So there's an accountability there that is incredible. That's why I think it's dangerous for lost people to sit in church, because they hear the gospel over and over and over and over again, and they're going to be held accountable for that. You reject it over and over and over again, the Lord Jesus Christ. And yes, what we see is the breaking of the law deserves judgment. But when we think of it this way as well, that not only have we broken the law, but we have rejected God's love gift found in Christ. Wow. Wow. But where the law condemns us, God's love and grace forgives us through Christ. I found this beautiful quote, William Hendrickson. God's grace is his active favor, bestowing the greatest gift upon those who have deserved the greatest punishment. Brothers and sisters, that was you and I. We deserved the punishment that was talked about there. And the fiery hell that was talked about, the wrath of God, we deserved that. And God, in his kindness, in his grace, in his mercy, in his love, elected us. Nothing we did to deserve it. And he took us from that being our future to instead spending eternity in heaven with him. And too many times we forget that. We forget what God has saved us from. There were four times that I should have died before I was a believer. I think back to that. And I think how kind God was, because I would have deserved hell if I died. But God, in his kindness, didn't take my life. Years later, I became a Christian. And I have to remember what I was saved from. I have to look back in order to endure. When times get tough, when my faith maybe wavers, then what I have to do is I have to go, man, you saved me from that, Lord. That's what you saved me from, and you didn't have to do that. So in order to endure, what we need to do is sometimes we need to look back and remember. Remember what we were saved from, but also remember the early days as a believer. Don't forget that, because look what it says here in the section of Scripture we just read. So it comes out of that whole, you know, be careful. This is the judgment that was waiting you. Now, in order to encourage you to endure, look at this. But recall the former days when after you were enlightened, after you were saved, you endured a hard struggle with sufferings, sometimes being publicly exposed to reproach and affliction, and sometimes being partners with those so treated. For you had compassion on those in prison, and you joyfully accepted the plundering of your property. And then in John chapter 15, starting in verse 20b through 22, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they also would keep yours. But all these things they will do to you on account of my name, because they do not know him who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not have been guilty of sin, We see this again here. But now they have no excuse for their sin. Remembering God's grace in your life early on and how the Holy Spirit transformed you, how he changed you. When we remember that and we see how we were walking in faith, that's an encouragement for us, a demonstration that our faith is genuine and that God was doing a work and is doing a work in us. And that encourages us to persevere. What about it? Do you remember when you got saved? Now, this is going to, some of us, like me, I was 21, 22 when I became a Christian. Some of you are raised in a Christian home, but either way, these truths are there for us. It's maybe a little more clear for those of us that were saved later on in life. But think of it. Do you remember when you gave your life to Christ, the joy you had? Do you remember that? I remember the day that I got saved, where I was. And that moment that God saved me, I felt like 100 pounds was lifted off of me. It felt like that. I felt just, wow. And I wasn't afraid anymore. I knew that my eternity was determined. And there was a joy that was there early on, wasn't it? Do you remember that? Do you remember the joy? Remember the hunger you had for the Word of God? You couldn't get enough of it. You opened the Word of God and you were reading it all the time. And God would show you something and you'd celebrate and you'd worship him. And you were constantly seeking God in prayer. And you remember what it was like, how you wanted to associate with Christians. You remember how you were bold in sharing the gospel? You didn't care what anybody thought. You're going to share the gospel. You're going to tell people about Jesus. Because you knew that that was their end. So you shared the gospel and you didn't care what people said. You stood even when you were being rejected for the gospel. Even when you were being rejected for hanging out with Christians. You stood firm. You kept the testimony. I remember my brother coming up to me and slamming me up against the wall after I got saved. And he grabbed me by the chest and he pointed in my face and he said, "Don't you ever tell me about Jesus." And I mean, I don't know if it happened to you, but being rejected by your family. You know, I was brainwashed. I was in a cult. And I was rejected by my family, by friends. Do you remember those things? Do you remember standing for Jesus and the cost it was? And you paid it. God was working something in your heart. He had transformed you. Remember those things. Brothers and sisters, hardships and suffering and rejection are just a part of the normal Christian life. If we're going to stand for Jesus, it's going to cost us something, and the world is coming apart at the seams. And Christians aren't being considered at this time people to follow. So it might cost you something coming up to follow Jesus. To say, "No, I'm a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ." But hardships and suffering are part of the normal Christian life. Part of it is that those trials, those difficult times, separate the real believers from those that are just part of the scenery. You can stand by God's grace. Do you remember how, when you were first saved, you were concerned about others' needs? Remember that? How you were burdened by the fact that your friends were dying and going to hell, and so you had to share the gospel with them. You had to. I mean, how could you not? And some people would say, "You can't tell people about hell. That's not the loving thing." Really? If we can't tell people the truth, then that's not loving. We need to tell them the truth. We need to be honest with them. Do you remember what that was like? You saw people's need. Now, there are a lot of people's needs. Okay, poor people and hungry people, etc. And I'm not diminishing that. But the greatest need that a lost person has is not filling their belly. It is giving them the gospel. You remember that? Telling people about Jesus. Do you remember going to Salvation Army and wanting to help the poor? Or doing something, reaching out to serve others because you saw the need? Do you remember that? Do you remember how every time the church doors were open, you wanted to be there? It didn't matter if it was a prayer meeting or whatever it was. You wanted to be there. And no matter what they asked you to do, you did. Clean the bathroom, fine. Glory to God, let me do it. If they would have asked you to go out into that parking lot right now and shovel it with a shovel, you would have grabbed the shovel and said, glory to God, let's go to it. Remember that? Do you remember that, what God was stirring in your heart? The miracle that God was doing in you? Transforming you. He was doing a great work. Do you remember how you willingly and joyfully gave of your earthly treasure? You weren't bound up by materialism. I know, I've felt convicted this whole week. Remember how, when you didn't have much, you still found a way to give to the different ministries. You still made a way. And if it meant you going without, you were okay with that. Because it was the gospel. You were willing to give your earthly treasures. That was what God was doing in us. What happened? I've asked myself that question. God, I want to go back to that. I want to go back to that. God's word is saying, remember, remember. It'll help you persevere in your faith. It'll help you endure hard times. Think back, Dan. Think back of what I saved you from. Think back the transformation that I worked in your life. Remember those things, Dan. Remember those things. How could these people willingly and joyfully give up their possessions? How could they do that? When you look at it, you realize this, that if we can go to the next slide. For you had compassion on those in prison, and you joyfully accepted the plundering of your property, since you knew that you yourselves had a better possession and an abiding one. That was the key. That word plundering there, we don't know if it means officially by the government or just plundering violence from people taking your stuff. They took their stuff. And they were still joyful. I'm not there. But I want to be there. That they would take their stuff and they would rejoice. How can you do that? It says right here, they knew that you yourself, since you knew that you yourselves had a better possession and an abiding one, therefore do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. Wow. They could suffer the loss. They could endure whatever it was because they were looking to the future. Look back, look to the future. They knew that they had something that the world could never take away. They had a confidence that they had a better and a more abiding possession that would last beyond death. So all the stuff that was holding them on earth would not make any difference once we got to heaven. They realized that no matter what they plundered, no matter what they took, they could not take their faith. They could not destroy their relationship with the living God. They couldn't do it. Nothing could. And so they were saying, you know what? Somehow I can joyfully do this because I've got a better possession, a more abiding one that no one can take. The world can't strip away. Nobody can take this from me. And when we think of this better abiding possession, we're not talking about stuff. We're not talking about things. We're talking about a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. And a salvation that is priceless. That's the better abiding thing. The Lord Jesus who is our Savior and our King and our friend. And no one can take that. And they saw that and said, I have a better abiding possession that no one can take. And they knew, I love this, for you had compassion on those in prison and you joyfully accepted the plundering of your property since you knew that you yourselves, they had this knowing. They knew about God. They knew God was able to do whatever he promised. And not only was he able to do it, but he was faithful to do it. And so whatever promises that God had made to them, they were confident that God would do it. He was able and he was willing and delighting to fulfill all his promises that he made to us as believers because of Christ. And they knew that. And it gave them confidence. Not in what they would do, because they were sinners and they knew it. They had their confidence because of who Christ was for them. Because what Christ had done for them, what Christ was doing for them, and what Christ would do for them in the future. And so they willingly, yeah, okay, whatever. Whatever comes my way. And brothers and sisters, because Jesus lives in us, we can endure. We can endure. It's about Jesus. And this world is breaking apart. It's coming apart at the seams, isn't it? You look at it and you just shake your head. But I know that nobody can take from me what I have, what God has given me. And no matter what happens in this world, I don't know what it is. You know, you watch the leaders and you go, you decided what? You're kidding me. No matter what happens, our God is still God, and our confidence will be in him, and we stand on his word. We hold fast. We live by faith, and we trust God, even when we don't understand why things are happening the way they are. You see, that's real faith, when you don't understand. You know, you get that diagnosis that you have cancer, and you don't know what you're going to do. Or you lose your job. Or you hear the crazy stuff they're talking about. And you know what? You can't figure it out. You don't understand it. It makes no sense to you. But you say, you know what? I still trust you, God. I have my confidence in you, not in this world. That's where I will stand. That's the hill I'll die on. That's faith. That's faith. And persevering in our faith sometimes requires us to look back. And sometimes it requires us to look forward. Most of the time we shouldn't look at our present situation. When you look back, remember what you were saved from. And remember the early days as a believer and what God did for you. Take a look. This is a beautiful section of scripture, but it's hard to read. Revelation 2 through 5. I know your works, your toil, and your patient endurance, and how you cannot bear with those who are evil, but have tested those who call themselves apostles and are not, and found them to be false. I know you are enduring patiently and bearing up for my name's sake, and you have not grown weary, but I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love you had at first. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the works you did at first. Convicting. God, do that work in us. God, do that work in us. Do that work in me. Do that work. So we look back to persevere, to endure in our faith, and we look to the future and remember how wonderful things are going to be. This is simply a hotel. Our home is in heaven. We are aliens, that is true. We are sojourners, that's all true, because this isn't our home. We have a better, more abiding possession that's not here. So look to the future. As a matter of fact, I'm going to ask you to look to the future next week because you need to read chapter 11. What is chapter 11 about? Chapter 11 is the famous chapter in the Word of God that explains what faith is. He's just telling us you got to walk in faith. And so what he does is the very next chapter, you just see the wisdom of God, don't you? I am so blown away by the Word of God because he says, stir one another up in love and good works. And he brings us to this place and he says, you need to walk in faith in order to endure. And the very next chapter, well, let me tell you what faith is. And he explains it. And then what does he do? He gives all kinds of examples of people and how they persevered in faith. Sometimes in very difficult times. And they stood strong because of God's grace. God's word is awesome. So look ahead next week. Read chapter 11 and see what God was doing to prepare as he gave us the end of chapter 10 and he brings us into 11. Brothers and sisters, to persevere in our faith, to endure in our faith, remember, look back. Remember what God did in your life and what he saved you from. And look to the future and remember what God has waiting for you. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, we stand in absolute awe of you. We remember, Lord, what you saved us from. Lord, I pray for those that are our friends and our family that are lost, that you would save them from that, Lord. Thank you for your grace and your mercy in my life, God. And I ask you, God, to stir up those fires in my heart, those embers. Lord, cause that fire to burn hot. God, as this world shakes, you are our rock and our salvation. You are the one who is steady. Help us to keep our eyes on you, Lord. So, Lord, where we need to repent, convict us. Lord, bring us into that place where we can truly be used by you in a way that your name is glorified. And we, by your kindness and your grace, receive the joy. And all God's people said, amen. Let's stand and continue to worship our great God.